And looking at the conversions so far in the book of Acts, we've noticed in Acts chapter 2, there were 3,000, large numbers of people. And 2,000 were converted in Acts chapter 3. And then, as we noticed last week with Acts chapter 8, there were multitudes in Samaria. Excuse me. In each case, the gospel message was preached. And it was always basically the same message. Christ was proclaimed, and the responses called for things that included faith, repentance, and baptism. Now we come to look at an example of conversion of just one person. The queen's treasurer, a eunuch from Ethiopia. He was a very religious man that had traveled a great distance to worship God. With this account of the conversion of the Ethiopian, we not only have the opportunity to confirm what's already been told to us, but we can also learn a few more points regarding Bible conversions. The first thing we want to notice, is the conversion. In this conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch, is that Philip is sent to preach to him. An angel of the Lord tells Philip to go toward Gaza, Acts chapter 8 and verse 26. And on the way there, there's a man sitting in his chariot, verses 27 and 28. The text describes him as a eunuch of Ethiopia. He was in charge of the treasury of Queen Candace. He was returning home from having gone to worship in Jerusalem. He was a proselyte. And the text tells us that he was reading from the prophet Isaiah. In verse 29, the Spirit tells Philip to overtake the chariot. When Philip gets there, he preaches to him about Jesus, beginning with Isaiah. And he asks Philip asks the eunuch if he understands what he's reading in chapter 8 and verse 30. So the eunuch asks Philip to help him. We see this in verses 31 through 34. The eunuch expresses a need for someone to guide him and invites Philip to sit with him in his chariot. The scripture under consideration is Isaiah 53, verses 7 and 8, that speaks of one led as a sheep to the slaughter, that describes one whose life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch asked if Isaiah was talking about himself or of someone else. And the text tells us in Acts chapter 8 and verse 35 that Philip began with that scripture and preached Jesus to the eunuch. Now, beginning in verse 36 and in verse 37, we see the eunuch express a desire to be baptized. Seeing some water along the way, he wonders what would hinder him from being baptized. And Philip replies that if he believes with all his heart, he may. So the eunuch confesses his faith in Jesus as being the Son of God. So we read in verses 38 through 40 that Philip baptizes the eunuch. They stop the chariot. Both Philip and the eunuch go down into the water, and Philip then baptizes him. When they come up out of the water, the Spirit catches Philip and takes him away. Leads him to another place. Now, even though Philip didn't see him anymore, the eunuch goes on his way rejoicing. And the text tells us that Philip is found at Azotus and continues preaching in the cities until he arrives at Caesarea. Now, somebody might wonder why the Spirit led Luke, in writing this, to spend so much time describing this conversion of just one individual. Clearly, there must have been an important lesson or principles that we can learn from this historical account. So, with that in mind, let me offer some observations. First, we need to notice that there are different prospects for the gospel, for hearing the gospel. The Ethiopian eunuch was a very religious man. He had traveled a great distance to worship in Jerusalem, and he was reading from the scriptures when Philip found him. In fact, most examples of conversions involved people that were very devout. The 3,000 on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2 had traveled to observe the feast. And later we're going to study about conversions of such people as Paul, the Pharisee that was zealous for the law. Cornelius, the devout Gentile who feared God and prayed always. And then there's Lydia, a woman who met every Sabbath to pray with others. And from this, we can learn the following things. Just because someone is religious does not mean that they are saved. Let me say that again. Just because someone is religious does not mean that they are saved. Excuse me. Religious people are often good prospects for the gospel. They already have a fear of God and should respect his authority. And as such, they simply need to be shown the way of God more accurately, like in Acts 18, verse 26. Those who are truly seeking God's will one day have an opportunity to hear the gospel and obey it. It's what Jesus said in Matthew 5 and verse 6. Now, this doesn't discount the fact that rank sinners are often receptive to the gospel, but good people are usually more open to the word of God. Now, as with other cases, what does it mean to preach Jesus? Well, from Isaiah's quotation in Isaiah 52 and chapter 53, we know it involves teaching. And how did Jesus die for our sins? Well, Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 3. He talks about how Jesus had been exalted by God. We saw that in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 3, and again in Acts chapter 5. But from the Ethiopian eunuch's question in Acts chapter 8 and verse 36, we know that it also includes stressing the importance of being baptized. Now, why did the eunuch ask, "What hinders me from being baptized?" Maybe because Philip told him what the Lord had said in Mark 16, verses 15 to 16. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." The purpose of baptism, as expressed by Peter and Paul in passages like Acts 2 and verse 38, Romans chapter 6 and verses 3 and 4, and 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. Now, as we've seen and we will see again, baptism is the expected response when someone believes in Jesus. But there's also another factor here. Baptism was immediate. Why did the eunuch ask to be baptized right away? Remember, he says, "See, here is water." Maybe it's because baptism's purpose is such that one does not want to delay being baptized. I mean, after all, it's to have our sins washed away. As Peter said in Acts 2 and verse 38, he said it's for the remission of sins. Acts 22 and verse 16, as Paul recounts his own conversion, he said it was to have his sins washed away. Peter talks about in 1 Peter 3 and verse 21 that it is an appeal for a clear conscience. So really, in every example of conversion found in the book of Acts, people were baptized immediately after just one lesson or one sermon. Now, from Philip's qualification in Acts 8 and verse 37, we know it requires explaining the necessity of having faith in Jesus. One must believe in Jesus as the Son of God. John 8, verse 24, John 20, verses 30 and 31. And without faith, God won't be able to do his work in our baptism, Colossians 2 and verse 12. The necessity of wholeheartedness in our faith is that God has always required this in us, wholeheartedness that is, Matthew 22 and verse 37. Without it, even those saved are in danger of falling away. Hebrews 3, verses 12 through 14. And unless you believe with all your heart, you are not a proper subject for baptism. Excuse me. Now, what is this baptism? Well, baptism that we've seen about, that we've read about here, involves water. When the eunuch was baptized, verse 38 of Acts chapter 8 tells us that both Philip and the eunuch went into the water. Verse 38 says he baptized him, and verse 39 says they came up out of the water. So we see here that right away that disproves what a lot of religions do today by either sprinkling or pouring. And later, we're going to see the same truth expressed by Peter in Acts chapter 10 in the account of Cornelius. But baptism involves a burial in water. Both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, verse 38. Now, if sprinkling satisfies the meaning of baptism, isn't it strange that Philip would need to go down into the water with this eunuch? Why get wet when all he needed to do was just dip his hand into the water and pour it over the eunuch's head. Baptism means to immerse, and as such, it requires the baptizer to get in the water with the one being baptized. Paul would later describe baptism as a burial in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, and Colossians 2 and verse 12. And baptism is not a public confession of our faith. Some people say that the purpose of baptism is to publicly confess one's faith in Christ, especially those who deny that baptism is for the remission of sins. And they say that it's seeking to provide a reason for baptism. And they offer this as an alternative. But the Bible nowhere says that this is the purpose of baptism. If the purpose of baptism is to publicly confess one's faith, then why did Philip baptize the eunuch? There was no one else around to witness this baptism. They were all alone in the desert. And why didn't Philip answer the eunuch's question differently? He wanted to know what would hinder him from being baptized. If baptism is a public confession of one's faith, why would Philip expect to say he must wait, or we would then expect Philip to say he must wait until he got into town or to find a church or whatever the case may be? But the purpose of baptism is such that it can be done in public or in private, with thousands in attendance or with just one who is doing the baptizing. There's another account in the book of Acts where we'll see in the conversion of the Philippian jailer that it also involved baptism that was relatively private. Now, with the conversion of the Ethiopian, we need to be impressed with the simplicity of salvation. With a simple presentation of the gospel, one can be saved after just one lesson. Now, whether it be preached to large crowds or to just one person, the gospel really is God's power to save, Romans 1 and verse 16. And when the gospel of Jesus is truly preached, the death of Jesus for our sins is going to be stressed. The importance of baptism as commanded by Jesus will be mentioned also, so that people will want to know what hinders me from being baptized, and so that people will want to be baptized immediately. The purpose of baptism is properly understood, knowing that one can be baptized in private just as well as in public. The necessity for a wholehearted faith in Jesus is going to be emphasized. Otherwise, one simply just gets wet when they're baptized. Was your conversion anything like that of the eunuch? Did someone preach Jesus to you? And were you compelled to ask, "See, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized," like the eunuch did in verse 36? If that's not the way you were baptized, then I want you to consider the gospel of Christ. Was it shared with you in its fullness? You know, again, you may disagree with this lesson, and I know there's several people that listen that actually may disagree with this. And you may want to talk with me about this, and I will welcome you. But like I said, we have looked at Scripture this morning. If you disagree with me, please bring Scripture to show me where I'm wrong, and I'll be willing to sit down and discuss with you the Word of God. If you'd like to meet with us at the Eastside Congregation, we'll have Bible classes this morning at 9 a.m., followed by worship service at 10 a.m. Then we'll meet again this evening at 5 p.m., and we'll have a midweek Bible study on Wednesday at 7 p.m. I'd like you to also look at our website, churchateastside.com, and you'll find this lesson and other lessons that you can go back and listen to as well. Again, thank you for being with me.